It's a good hymn. Did you pay attention to the words? He said, I know not why, I know not how, I know not what, I know not when, but I do know who. That's good. Very good. Romans 5 now. I'll go back there. Romans chapter 5. I hope this will be, we're going to have a look at, I gave you five words when I sent most of the outline, and really there are 12 words here. But don't panic. It's not going to take that long. We spend a couple of minutes each word. That's not very long, is it? There's 12 words here, and we cannot leave any of them out. Brother Barnard, as I said Sunday, he said, you only need two books, a Bible and a dictionary. I'm thankful that the Lord gave us an English Bible. And he raised up men who were efficient, proficient in Hebrew and Greek. And they did all the study, and we have an English Bible. And I'm so thankful. But sometimes the words, you can look up the words, and most of the time the word is given is good enough. But sometimes it helps to look the words up in our English dictionary, like we did Sunday about, what was the word I looked up? I've forgotten. What was it, Stephen? Anyway, I remember it being a blessing. See, even the preacher forgets. But you only need a Bible and a dictionary. And you look up these words, and I did that, and it was such a blessing to me, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. Now, first of all, my pastor said to understand God's Word, you need to consider three things. Who is speaking? To whom is he speaking? And what's the subject? Who is speaking? Well, God. This is God's Word. It's God's Word. To whom? To those called to be saints, it says in Romans 1. It's to God's people. That's who this is for. He keeps saying, we know. This is God's people who believe, believers. All right, it's not to the world. Okay? What's the subject? Justification by faith. Whole book of Romans. Not works. Not by works of righteousness which he has done, according to his mercy saved us, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We're saved by works, not ours, but his. You know how few people know that? Oh, we do. It begins, verse 1 of chapter 5, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified. What's that mean? Well, it means innocent. Are you innocent? Well, that's what the scripture says. Therefore, being innocent. It means not just innocent. It means doesn't mean just that you've not broken the law, but it means you've loved God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. You've kept the law perfectly. You've fulfilled the law. Really? Yes, really. That's what it said. Well, how is that? How can that be? Well, it's just by faith in Christ. That's why Christ came. He made the law. We broke it. He kept it. And imputed. All of Romans 4 is about that. Isn't it? All of Romans is about that. And he charged to us what Christ did. Isn't that good news? Innocent, righteous. And it says in Romans 8, we may turn there several times, it says Romans 8, verse 28 and 29, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called, whom he called, he justified. He called Abraham, and we just read, he called Abraham out of idolatry, 75 years old. And Abraham didn't believe God, didn't know God, but God foreknew Abraham, chose Abraham, called Abraham. Here's what he said. I'm justifying you freely, completely, from all things. I'm giving you this blessed faith. I'm imputing to you righteousness of the coming Christ. You are now righteous before me in my eyes, just by believing. And there's no law with Abraham. There was no law, right? When Abraham was called, no law, no circumcision. And none of that justifies anybody or anything. Yeah. And it says, Scripture says we're innocent. And not only that, but righteous. Most of you have heard this story. Some have not, perhaps. Maybe someone listening over the internet. My father was a young man, and he was driving a big old Hudson automobile that weighed thousands of pounds. And he ran through a stop sign. And a car was coming at that time. He plowed right in the side of it. Just demolished that car. Thankfully, no one was hurt. No one was hurt. And they charged him with reckless driving and running a stop sign and just everything. It's all his fault. He was guilty. So they sentenced him to a day in court where they were going to, you know, whatever the judge decided to do. And he said, as that time was approaching, the law, you know, he's guilty. I mean, he's guilty. He knows it. Everybody knows it. He said, the closer he got to that, to stand before the judgment seat, he said, I was literally trembling. So my grandfather went with him. My Pop Mahan went with him, and they were sitting in the back. You know, you want to get as far as you can. They were sitting on the back row. And Dad said, that judge was strict, and he was throwing the book at everybody. And one after another, before long, everybody in that courtroom was gone except my dad and his dad. They're the only ones left in that courtroom. And the judge had his head down looking at his books and all, and he looked up and said, what can I do for you all? And Dad stood up and said, I'm stuttering. I'm Henry Mahan, and I'm supposed to appear in court today. The judge looked down. He went through. He looked. He said, there's nothing in this book. Your name's not here. There's nothing in here. He said, go, you're free. Go home. There's nothing on the books. And the scripture says that Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that are against us. Do you have any guilt in your past that you cannot get rid of? Yesterday, the Lord says, being justified freely, wiped out, blotted out. Nothing on your record. Nothing. How's that? Christ. Right. Look at the next word in Romans 5. Justified by faith. 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 You know, John read it tonight in Ephesians 2. By grace you're saved through faith. That's not of yourself. Ephesians 1:19 says you believe according to the working of his mighty power. It was a day I didn't believe, and before I knew it, the next day I did. It was a day I didn't care anything about God, and I did. It was clear to me. I didn't decide it. God had given me this precious gift of faith. Peter said to those who have obtained like precious faith with through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us his faith, whom God did foreknow. He predestinated, he called by the gospel, and he justified. He gave him this faith. We heard about our guilt, heard about the law, heard about a holy and righteous God, and we heard the gospel about Christ. He said, "Do you believe?" And we said, "We do." He said, "Just by faith? Just by believing?" Well, I didn't have anything to do with that. Yeah, that's right. Faith. Faith is just belief. Faith is trust. Faith is confidence in whom you trusted after you believed. Ephesians 1 said. So, faith. What a precious thing faith is. It's not an act of the human will. It's not something you decide to do. It's not one day you were reading all of this and figured it out and said, "Okay, this is what I believe." No. It's a miracle of God's grace in it. All right, look at the next word. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. And by the way, faith is not an act. Faith is just trusting a person. Our faith is a person. We don't have faith in our faith, do we? We have faith in Christ, His faith. Over and over, it talks about the faith of Christ, and faith of Christ. Because He had to live by faith. He did it for us. All right, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. I looked up the word. You have it there, maybe. It means prosperity. It means when you think of prosperity, you think everything's going to go well. Everything's well. It is well with my soul, no matter what it is. My soul's going to prosper. That's right. That's exactly right. All things work together for your prosperity. Spiritually, for good, prosperity means rest, peace. Some of you were in religion, weren't you? And you were striving and working and trying to be moral and trying to keep the law and all that. And then you heard that, no, you can't be justified by the law. You heard the gospel, you heard the truth, didn't you? And then the law convicted you. You thought, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And our Lord, through the gospel, said, "Christ." And you believed. And it just rests. And it rests. Had a man start coming here who was in Reformed religion. And that's bondage. It's bondage. They got the doctrine, but it's bondage. They say, you know, you're saved by grace, but. Don't they? You've heard them. Peace means rest. Rest from working. And peace, did you notice, at one again. At one again. You were enmity. You read that? And Colossians says the same thing. You were enemies. You were separated, estranged from God. But through Christ, you're one with God. God created man, or man to walk with Him. But man sinned against God. And he ran from it. And man, all mankind, didn't want anything to do with God. But God. And you, running. But God. You want to be one with God. You want to walk with God. How did this happen? Christ reconciled both of two. Like at one moment, put that together. At one moment, that's atonement. Right? Atonement brought us together. Look at the next thing. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace by the blood of His cross, that atonement He made, reconciled us to God. By whom, verse 2, by Christ also we have access to God. Access, the word means admission, entrance. You can come in. You're granted free access to God. All through the Old Testament talks about God a consuming fire and told Mount Sinai, "Don't come near, don't come close now. Don't even touch the mountain or I'll kill you." But now in Hebrews says we come to God another way, by Christ. Forerunner within the veil and offered up His blood on the mercy seat. And then, remember, the veil was ripped from top to bottom. And that tells everybody, His people, come on in freely. Come on in. Like, you know the story of Isaac as an old man, and he was going to bless his sons, and Esau being the oldest son who had the birthright, who had the blessing belonged to him. But Jacob's mother said, "Now we're going to get you the blessing." And this is the Spirit of God teaching us how God's going to accept us. Okay? It's not ours by right. It's Christ by right. So Rebecca said to Isaac, or Jacob, Rebecca said to Jacob, "You've got to have what the father loves, that the older son provides. Savory meat. Your older brother has given him savory meat all these years, and he just loves it. And he loves your older brother. You've got to smell like him. You've got to feel like him." Now, here's his savory meat that he loved. And she put a hairy garment all over Jacob to make him feel like Esau. That's the righteousness of Christ, robing us. And then when he came to Isaac, his father, he was fearful, he was afraid. And the father said one thing. He said, "Do you have that savory meat that I like?" He said, "Yes, I do. Bring it to me." Oh, he said, "I love it." He said, "Come closer." And he said, and he touched him. He said, "It feels like Esau." He said, "Smells like Esau." And he blessed him. He got the blessing that belonged to his older brother. That's what we get through Christ, he said. The Spirit of God teaches us that you only come to God, the Father, through the savory meat, the sweet-smelling savor of his sacrifice, Christ. That's what... This is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, that Christ is. And we have this robe of righteousness. So we have access. We have entrance. We have acceptance. We can come. Scripture says we can come boldly, come freely. Come on in. Sinners though we be. How do we come? By faith in Christ. And come boldly. Boldly. I told you this story once before, but maybe somebody hadn't heard it. It's a good one. Back during the Civil War, there was a Union soldier whose mother was dying, and he wanted to go home and see her, and he couldn't. And he was stationed in Washington at the time, and he just sat on the steps of the court outside the White House there, sitting on the steps, you know, big gate. He was sitting there, and he was just so sorrowful. He couldn't even need it. He knew there was only one person that could let him go home. And that's the President of the United States. And he couldn't get in and see him. No way. He's sitting there, and a little boy came walking by. A young boy, and said, he saw him sad. He said, "Sir, why are you sad?" And he told him, "My mother's dying. I want to go home and see her. I can't. President Lincoln's the only one that could give me that freedom, but I can't get in and see him." And the little boy said, "Follow me." And the little boy walked to the gate, and there was two guards at the gate, and the gate just swung open. And he walked through that gate, and he walked up to the front door of the White House, two guards standing, and the doors just opened the door freely. And he walked down the hallway, and there was the Oval Office where the President of the United States was sitting. Now the guard at that door, and that guard just opened that door. And they both came in, and the boy came in first. He said, "Dad, there's a man here who wants to go home, see his mother." And he granted it. Free access through the Son. One way. You know that, don't you? One way. He's well pleasing to the Father. And what pleases Him is for us to trust His Son. We have access by faith into this grace. Where would you turn to read about grace? Everywhere. With Ephesians 1, you know. Grace, electing grace, predestinating grace, adopting grace, redeeming grace, forgiving grace, revealing grace, and on it goes. Sealing grace. And grace means gift. We have access. Gift means favor. It means benefit. By grace, are you saved? Benefits. We have every benefit, every favor given to us by God through Jesus Christ. Here it is. I love it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Christ came to save us from destroying ourselves. And crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Why? For Christ's sake. Because He did. We have access, free access, by grace. Look at the next word. And rejoice, it is grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope. We have a good hope through grace. The grace of God that's in Christ. In hope of the glory of God. Glory. The word glory means honor. The word glory means praise. But listen to Peter. He said this. The trial of your faith. Faith that's more precious than gold. Though it be that the gold that perishes. And this faith, though it be tried with fire, it's going to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. Glory. Glory is not only a thing, it's a place. It's a person. It's a person. God of all glory. Christ, glorious Son, glorious Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, by Christ, we get to be with God in glory and get to behold Christ's glory. And our Lord said, I was going to have you turn to John 17, but not for the sake of time. I'll turn myself. But our Lord said this. He said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, those you have given me, that they may behold my glory. Before that, he said, the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Meaning, you've already been glorified if you see his glory. You're as good as there. If you believe Christ, you trust Christ, you see Christ as your all your salvation. God has gloriously given you this faith. Paul said this. He said, we're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth. And this is how He did. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we had nothing to do with any of it. And we're going to be standing in glory. And the word means praise and honor and glory and worship. It means worship to glory. We're going to be standing in glory after that 30 minutes of silence. Our mouths are going to be open. And then we're going to erupt into praise. Whose praise? His praise. Honor. Whose honor? His honor. Who are we going to be glorifying? You see, this boasting is excluded. All glory is excluded but Him. Look at the next word. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God, but not only so, we glory in tribulation. Tribulation. Word means pressure. Or something weighing down on you. A burden. A burden. Have you ever thought about sin, the guilt of sin, and the burden of sin laying you low as being a blessing? That's a great blessing. You know that? The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Christ came to this world to save sinners. What kind of sinners? Hell-deserving sinners. Wretched sinners. That's the only kind there is, right? Guilty sinners. Rebel sinners. Prodigal son sinners, you know. And that, you know, that presses you down and weighs you down. And everybody that's down because they're sin, like that woman caught in the act of adultery, Christ's going to lift you up. He that abaseth himself, whom God abaseth, Christ will exalt. That's who. So this pressure, this burden, and then there's the tribulation, that affliction and trouble. We have trouble with sin. We have trouble in the world. There was a time we didn't have any trouble in the world. There's no trouble with the world. I like it just fine. I want to stay here. I love it. You? Not now. But there was a time when I don't want out of here. I want all of this I can get. Not now. Trouble, pressure, affliction, persecution, Oh, it's a fight, isn't it? It's a weight, it's a burden, sin in the world, all blessed. Here's what James said. Listen to James. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You see, sin's not a temptation to the world. It's not a temptation. It's something they love. Sin, how can you rejoice in being, in sin being a temptation, enduring temptation? Because Satan tempts God's people. He doesn't have to tempt the world. He's got them. They love it. They're just doing, you know, dead in trespass and sin. But not God's people. So he just tempts and entices. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. They were not sinners, and so he tempted them. Well, they failed, didn't they? Tempted. Blessed are they. Count it all joy when you fall into all divers temptations and trials, tribulations, things that test us. Knowing this, the trial of your faith worketh patience. Look, that's the next word. He says, tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience means cheerful endurance. Cheerfully enduring. It means continuance. Continuing. You know, we wouldn't continue if we weren't born of God. We wouldn't continue. We wouldn't endure anything. We wouldn't be able to endure anything. Listen to David in Psalm 27. Patience. He said, I would have fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in this world. I would have fainted. So I had so many enemies. He talked about my enemies. And he talked about his own sin and all of this. And he called on God and he said, I would have fainted, I would have quit long before now if I hadn't seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's the goodness of the Lord? We looked at that Sunday. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I'll be merciful, I'll be gracious. That's Christ, that's the gospel. So David says, wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, that's what patience means. He'll strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Endure. Endure cheerfully. Don't complain for chastening. It's what we need. Don't complain for tribulations and trials and all that. We need it. No. These things, as we've said so many times, wean us from the world. Cause us to look to our God. Patience, have patience, wait, continue. Who are we waiting on? Listen to Job. I do want you to turn to Job, okay? Turn to Job 14. Listen to Job. You have it, Job 14, verse 14. Have it. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call. See, all whom God called by the gospel, he's going to call again out of the grave. And I will answer that. Now, thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hand. He's going to perfect that which he hath begun. He's going to call his people out of the grave. And we will endure. We will endure these things. All right, go back to the text. Here's the next word. Now, in tribulation, work with patience. Patience, experience. Experience. That means something that's tried and proven through experience. There really is only one teacher. They say experience is the best teacher. Really, it's the only teacher. You really don't learn anything until you experience it. Right? You can believe God's word, but until you go through, you're not going to really believe it. Experience. It's tried and proven. Solomon said this. He said, I gave my heart to seek wisdom, and he said, knowledge and understanding. He said, I went through all these experiences through the world, and he concluded, vanity of vanity, it's all vanity. You're going to experience that all through life. You're going to experience. There's nothing to this. Nothing to it. You're going to experience what it means to be a sinner. Nothing to me. You're going to experience God's mercy. You're not going to just believe it in your head. You're going to rejoice in it. Experience. God's going to be merciful to you. Keep being merciful to you. Keep forgiving you and being merciful. And you're going. That's an experience. You see, it's not just a head doctrine. It's an experience. Salvation is an experience, not an isolated incident, but the whole of your life is an experience of God's mercy and grace. He giveth and giveth. He never quits giving. You experience that, don't you? In my experience, you know what my experience is? This is what I've concluded. I'm just an old sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ, my all in all. That God is great, God is good, and now I thank Him. For my everything. That's a simple prayer. There was a time I didn't think it. It's experience, you say. Patience, experience. You're going to wait on the Lord and you're going to see Him provide. You're going to see Him do what you need. Promise you. Look at the next word. Hope. Oh, what a word this is. Hope. Hope. Anybody like that word in here? Helen, hope. Hope. Hope means expectation. Expectation. Hope means great anticipation. Listen to David in Psalm 130. I just turned to hear for you. This is wonderful. This is another one of your favorite psalms. David said, out of the depths I've cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Oh, if you mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. In his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord. More than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. So let all Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is mercy. With him is plenteous redemption. Plenty to go around. And he shall redeem Israel. Who's Israel? Jacob. From all his iniquities. How? Why? Just hoping it. He takes great pleasure in them that fear him and hope in his mercy. That's all I can do. You know that? That's all I can do. There's no hope in myself. All my hope is built on Jesus Christ. So he's, and I anticipate, I greatly expect, because God cannot lie, to be with him someday. That's my hope. And it says, the next word is, hope maketh not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. I wrote down the word shame. I should have put unashamed. Unashamed. Word shame means disgrace, means confounded. You know what the scripture said? Those that hope in the Lord, none of them will be confounded. None of them will be ashamed. None of them will be put to shame. I'm ashamed of myself. Aren't you? I'm ashamed of myself. If God gave me what I deserve, He'd put me to open shame someday before everybody. And that, here's what God says, though. He says, all those who trust Christ, all those who call on Him for mercy, it says, God is not ashamed to be called their God. And He's prepared for them a city. And I give you this illustration. Joseph. What all did his brothers do to him? Oh, they despised him. They rejected him. They sold him. Cared nothing for him. And then they lived a life of sin for years, all those years. But God, rich in mercy, brought them to Joseph, convicted them of their sin. What was their sin? What were they convicted of? What they did to Joseph. What they did to their brother. He convicted them of that. And to a man, every one of them was just mourning over what they've done to him. And Joseph heard it all. He's talking to them through an interpreter. But and then what happened? Joseph said, put everybody out of the room. And he revealed himself to, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. He said, come here. Come here. Come on up here. All those sorry brethren that sold him, hated him. Come here. Fell on their necks. Hugged them all, kissed them all. And he called for the ruler of the land. He said, my brethren are here. Let's have a celebration. Sorry bunch of brothers of Joseph. He didn't put them to shame, did he? And he presented them to the king. Ain't that something? Unashamed. Not going to be ashamed. Not going to have any sin to remember. Verse 5, and I close. Hope maketh not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of our hope. Not ashamed of Christ. Christ said, he's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him. But I'm ashamed of myself, and I'm not ashamed of Christ. Are you? And he says, hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Love. The word love means affection. Now here it is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Sent His Son to be propitiation for our sin. But we do love Him, don't we? We love God. We love Him because He first loved Him. And this love that God puts in the hearts of God's people now abideth faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because love never faileth. Faith's not going to need faith one day. Not going to need hope one day. But love. And that begins here. If you love God, you love Christ, you love the gospel. That's the gift of God. When Simon Peter denied the Lord horribly, and I'm sure he thought, how can I possibly be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Surely He's done with me. I lived all those years in sin, and then He called me, and He was so good to me, so merciful, and revealed Himself to me, and did all those things for me for 3.5 years, and here I just denied, acted like I didn't even know Him, and just reverted right back to an old sinner, an old fisherman. No way I could be a child of God. No way. And when he heard, when John said, that's the Lord on the ship, on the shore, and he dove out of that boat and couldn't get to him fast enough. What's that?
of. What that is.
And then our Lord, sitting around that fire, our Lord said to Simon Peter, nobody else, to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love that? More than all this world. More than anything, anybody in the world. Do you love me? What did he say? Yea. Yes, I do. That's not presumption. It's love. It's love. Well, we've acted like we don't. Though our love is, you know, so fickle and all of that, we do love it. We do. We do. And I close with this illustration, one of your favorite. That prodigal son, you know, he didn't care anything about the father. Give me what's come to. Give me. The father gave him everything. Freely gave him everything. What did he do? Wasted. Just wasted. Riotous living. Okay? God brought him down, didn't he? Brought him down so far he was in a hog pen. And the scripture says he came to himself. That is, he came to see himself. What he'd done. What he'd done to the father. That's the first thing. Look what I've done to my father. He was so good to me. So merciful. So gracious. So kind. Look what all I've done. And look what I've done to myself. Look what I've done to everybody. Look what I've done. All I've ever done is sin. Look at me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of my father. I'm going to plead with him. I'm going to repent. I'm going to say, Father, forgive me. I said, I'm not worthy. And just give me some crumbs or whatever. And what happened? He hadn't got home yet. He was afar off. And the father saw him afar off. And the father ran. What's that? Love. The father ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. The son tried to get his little saying out. He couldn't. The father said, bring the best robe. Put it on him. Cover his neck in that. Put a ring on his finger. Token of my love. Put a shoes on his feet. That's the gospel. If the Lord's giving you the gospel, it means he loves you. Do you love the gospel? It's because he first loved you. He said, kill the fatted calf. That's Christ. Do you love hearing about the lamb? God loved you. And he says, my son was dead, and he's alive. He was lost, and now he's back. Okay, stand with me.